Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Jeremy White.
I think everybody knows someone that does this. Or
I think I know what you're about to say. And
wears shorts every single day, no matter what.
Yes.
And Joe DiBiase.
Everybody knows someone that does this.
They wear shorts 365.
Hypothermia? We're like hypospermia.
Listen, if none of my friends are going to do it, I'm going to be the guy that wears shorts all the time.
I don't fear the cold. The cold fears me.
All situations, except like weddings. You know, at that point, lean into it.
He's got a pair of shorts.
You get to the wedding, the bride. What's going on with your buddy there? Oh, he's a shorts every day guy.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on Western New York Sports Giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, everybody. Good morning. Good morning. Hello.
What's up?
How are you? Was it foggy where you were?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, windows were foggy.
As someone who doesn't really know the Hound of the Baskervilles all that well, or even know what that is, Sherlock Holmes.
Yep.
It's like a story. Anyway, the impression you grow up with is that it was foggy during that. Anyway, it's foggy.
Yes, I would agree.
But it's not foggy here at work. So my guess is
closer
to the lake, like into the city
and
downtown, you're going to get fog, and out here we're fine.
Yeah, that would make sense. Wouldn't fog often come off a body of water?
Oh, yeah. That's 6:03 a.m. science for me. That satisfies.
Sure.
Into it. Yes, definitely. Everybody knows that.
Yeah, so it's a little steamy out there.
Yeah.
This morning.
Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. Happy hump day. We've got a good show today. For a change. We've got Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast at 7:30. And Benjamin Solak of The Ringer at 9 to talk to us about Keon Coleman and other things. Ben was one of the first people I saw mocking the Bills' Keon Coleman as like a really good fit.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's long before he was drafted by the Bills, where, of course, you know, now there are a lot of people saying it's a good fit. And then Evan Lazar to talk Patriots coming up at 9:30. So a couple of guests along the way, better to forget it, some good stuff to get you to. And, that's the story for this Wednesday.
Yeah. There wasn't you did not have the nightmare scenario in the NHL last night, by the way, where every series ended. Toronto survived.
Toronto did survive. You know where we should start? Are the Leafs better without Auston Matthews? It's time.
Undefeated in the playoffs.
It's time to have the conversation. Are they, you know, they've got one big gun.
Yeah.
And that's not the way to win, guys.
No, right. You'd rather have four number three centers than one number one center.
Yes. Are they better without Auston Matthews?
Yeah.
I mean, listen, if they win another game, if they win this series without him,
do they play him in game one? Trade him for
you. Listen, you got a lineup that's winning. You don't mess with it. You don't.
Right.
You don't take it out.
Right. Please, someone ask their coach that exactly that way.
The funny thing about last night. So, all right, let's start there on the Bruins and Leafs game. If you didn't watch it, one thing that was very clear: Toronto won a close game.
Yeah,
Boston didn't show up.
Yeah, no, they got The shot attempts in the game were like way in favor of Toronto.
Watching the broadcast, it was referred to as the Bruins' effort was referred to as a comedy of errors. Mm. So, you know, reminded me yesterday of Lindy Ruff, because we talked to Lindy yesterday, and one of the things he said was, you know, you're not always going to be on your A game. And he wasn't talking playoffs necessarily. In the playoffs, there's not really an excuse about schedule. But he said, if you don't have your A game, if you can win with your B game, or, you know, your B game is competitive, you're mm-hmm. in good shape. And man, the Bruins had their C game. Like, the Bruins were,
yeah.
There's a play coming down the wing where the guy fans on the puck trying to take a shot. Comedy of errors. And the Bruins were not good. And they'll have to, you know, keep working to win this series against the Leafs.
Yeah. Well, I got two more chances to do it.
I asked you yesterday and was very upset to find out that Brad Marchand does indeed have a Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
he's been playing there forever. It feels like the Bruins have won three cups in the last 15 years, but they have not.
No, they've won.
One.
That's it. He won it as a rookie.
He was a rookie.
So it's almost his whole career he's gone without
yes,
one.
Yes. And yeah. the fact that he has one already. All right, let's do it this way. He already has one. So me rooting against him getting another one isn't that mean because he has one. But I still get to have him go the rest of his career never getting it. And I think, you know what? I think I'm into that. I think I'm into, I need to root against Brad Marchand.
Brad Marchand, maybe, yes. Could you call him an underachiever by accomplishments?
You certainly could call the
could
Bruins.
Be said.
The Bruins, honestly, I mean, people don't like to hear this because, as I said, the Bruins won a Stanley Cup in the last, what was it, like 10 years ago?
13 years. It was the last year the Sabres made the playoffs.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. The Bruins' last 7 years has been the Bills. The best team.
Yeah.
And they don't win. They get knocked out in the playoffs. And if you start talking about the Bills like that, don't they look like a first-class organization? That's the Bruins.
That they're basically the Bruins.
If you go total points over 4 and 5 year stretches, Boston will be at the top in the NHL as consistently the best team. And what? They made a cup final. They lost to the Blues.
But yeah, the last couple of years, lost in the first round, lost in the first round, lost in the second round, lost in the second round. Then you get to the finals. They made it against St. Louis. They have a couple appearances, right? Like, they made it to the finals against St. Louis. They made it to the finals against
Chicago.
Chicago,
yep.
Right? They lost that game with like 2 goals and 15 seconds at the end. So they made it to the championship game. Which I guess is different than the Bills can say.
Yeah, the Bills haven't done that.
But they've also been doing this at this level twice as long.
True.
As the Bills have.
You know, the cup is a big thing to have multiple cups right, over like, the course of their franchise history.
They started with it, right? Like this run, right? Like this the Bergeron Marchand run of Bruins hockey, like they won right away. Before that, like are those guys like Marchand's not on the team when the Sabres play them in the playoffs, are they?
I don't think so.
Like I don't remember him in that series at all.
No.
So, okay, so the next year is his first year.
Yeah.
And that's when they win the cup that year. So, like, were they already a perennial Stanley Cup contender when the Sabres met them in the playoffs? I don't remember that.
No, not really. Not that I can think of.
I mean, they got bullied in that series. You know, they had Chara.
In part because they broke Thomas Vanek's ankle.
That's also true.
You know, when you're just allowed to break the best player's ankle.
Yeah.
Then win a series.
He had a play at the end of last night's game, Marchand, where this dude just, he threw a Leafs player's stick at one point because it got like caught up in him and the Leafs player released it so he didn't get a hooking penalty. Marchand grabs the stick and launches it, like throws it as far as he can. And then a minute later, he goes to shoot it. It kind of gets blocked. And the guy that blocked it is standing there. I don't even know who it was. Marchand just decides, I'm just going to tackle this guy. Just going to tackle him down to the ice.
Playoff hockey.
Playoff hockey. Because they're not going to call a penalty on me with 2 minutes to go. I could do whatever I want to this guy. Oh, he's the worst. He's the worst. And he's a captain.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable that he's a captain.
Did you guys see the picture in Toronto behind the net, behind the Bruins net? They edited the iconic Marchand crying after the St. Louis Blues loss picture. And they put him, like when he was licking Ryan Callahan, they edited the two together.
When he was licking Ryan Callahan.
Do you remember that?
No, I do. I do. It's just funny.
It was just funny. It was like on a big poster board right behind the Bruins net. And it was on the broadcast and everything. It was great.
Yeah. Crazy, that guy. He's nuts. We would love him, right? They love him. Everybody.
Of course.
They love him. We would love him.
Yeah, of course. So, does every analysis of Marchand ever not said that? by the way, that like, oh, the guy you'd love to have, you love to hate him too, or like, or you hate him on the other team, you'd love him on your team.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah, I think sure, he's an elite player. He's been an elite player. He had 100 points in a season. He's got a bunch of 30 goal seasons. So that's the worst part of this, maybe, is the first couple years of his career. Marchand, I don't even know how I got down this rabbit hole. Like, go look at the first 5 years of his career. 41 points, 55 points, 36 points, 53 points, 42 points. That's him before age 27 in the league. And then he just explodes. 85, 85, 100, 87. Like, just, he had a mid-career surgence that was really annoying because he wasn't that good of a player. He was fine. And then he became, like, you know, Olympian top line all perennial all-star guy. But they lost last night. So
do the Sabres need someone just like him? I mean, even if you cut the goals and the offensive production in half, isn't that something that almost every Sabre fan would sign up for? An obnoxious person.
Uh-huh.
Just,
yeah,
he is their entire identity, right? He is obnoxious. It's horrible to watch him. It's awful to see him have success.
Yes.
He should be kicked out of the league 10 times over for the things that he's done. And yet he'll go to the Hall of Fame and be remembered. And I'm sure he'll be on broadcasts going forward, right? Like Paul Bissonnette's role right now, that'll be Brad Marchand in 10 years. No? He'll be the one that's there ready to tell you all about the upcoming series. And then we'll learn about him and think, like, you know what? He's not such a bad guy, even though he spent his entire career terrorizing the entire league, cheating relentlessly.
Spearing people, licking people. He was literally running around doing these things.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's probably right. There's not that many characters in the NHL that are capable of going on TV. Like, he's definitely good. He's going to get a call the moment that he leaves the ice. So sure, they need that. They don't have it, right?
Yep.
Like, Krebs has a little of that, but come on. I mean, he's not the player. What do you have, 4 goals last season? So you want one of your good players to be like that? Part of, if you remember back to, like, what embodied him to be that, though, was those early Bruins teams that he's on. He can get away with doing whatever he wants because he's got the 6'9 ogre behind him, ready to defend him at any turn, and then he's got the other 6'6 ogre to his left that's defending him too. Like, when you've got Lucic and Chara at your back, you might feel like you can lick people and get away with it.
True.
And, you know, is there a point to be made here? Like, I don't care about this that much, but if they had a young Marchand on the Sabres right now, would the guy feel as comfortable doing all that stuff with, you know, without Chara or Lucic, because the Sabres do not have those guys?
There's feeling comfortable to do it, and then there's having even the thought to do it. Like, does Peyton Krebs want to lick an opponent, but he just can't because he doesn't have the protection? Does Krebs want to do all the I think...
Well, does he want to be, you know, a rat, though?
Probably not, right? Probably not.
He has been a little bit, right? Like, that's a little bit of what... And maybe not in the Marchand way, but... He's become a more pest physical guy.
He has. He's also done it while scoring no points.
That's right, and that's the point.
And he can't get on the ice. Right. What Krebs would probably like to do is return to the prospect that he was, which was top prospect in an organization, Vegas at the time. And what?
Top 6 center.
Yeah.
That's going to get 50
points. 50 assists. 50, whatever.
Yeah, right. And he's nothing close to that right now.
No, not at all.
So, sure. I'll take a Marchand. Like player. There's not many of them. Are there?
No, there's not that many. But
that are actually good?
There's definitely not many that are that good. That's
there's not that
thing.
Many that are good. They had Steve Ott. Steve Ott also licked a guy once on the Sabres.
He did.
So they had a guy like that once upon a time, and he just wasn't very good.
What was Steve Ott's career high in points as compared to Marchand? Like, Ott, by the way, is coaching right now. He was an idea for a coach if the Sabres wanted to go that direction.
Well, Marchand had 100 points in a season.
I bet Steve Ott doesn't get to half of that in a season. His highest point total in a year was 46.
Okay. So not half that.
No. 19 goals, 27 assists. He did have 22 goals in a season with the Stars. When he came to the Sabres, his highest point total with the Sabres was 24, although that was in 48 games. And then the following year, he had 20 points in 59 games. Anyway, yeah, too much Bruins for me. Who do you root for there, though? Leafs or Bruins, right? Like, it's...
I think it's funny if the Leafs lose, so...
I do think it's
I don't want to say I'm rooting for the Bruins, but I might be rooting against the Leafs a little bit.
I think it's funny if the Leafs win. because they've been called everything in the book by their own fans in the last week.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiled, heartless, failures.
And well, they've been being called that for years.
Sure.
Now.
And yeah. if they erase a 3-1 series deficit with Austin Matthews injured and mystery drama in the team, and they just win and beat Boston, that'd go a long way to pushing a lot of narratives down. Like last night, getting a win over Boston, like that's great. I saw this is funny. I almost wish we had done this. Let's go back in time a little bit. The Diggs Allen dust up on the sideline. We had him doing the thing, right?
Yeah.
Where he puts his arms up.
Yeah.
We never knew what that was about. We have no. Was there a play? I don't know that anybody ever went back to the previous drive to see if there was a play where let's see what he could have been upset about if it's something on this drive.
Mm-hmm.
I watched a video last night of Sportsnet breaking down the face-off before the play where the three Leafs players were arguing on the bench. They broke down the face-off.
Is the face-off where, like, something happened?
That's what they're trying to figure out.
Okay.
So what do I got on my... It actually was amazing coverage and context. It's those three guys around the ice, and the face-off gets one back to the point, and you could see... I forget who it was on the broadcast. Is it James Duthie? I'm not even sure. It's not important. Watch this rotation. Marner's down below the goal line. He's looking for a pass, yet it goes to McCabe, who's not ready for it, doesn't want it, throws it back to the other point, and now the play is cooked.
Yeah.
And they're in their own end, then Marner gets hit and gets absolutely lit. And they're discussing, I think this was it. I think it was that Nylander went rogue and didn't make the play he was supposed to make or something like that.
Mm.
And I just appreciated that here you had three forwards on an NHL team in a playoff series, you know, just yelling on the bench at each other or communicating. And in Toronto, they're like, we're going to go back and find that play.
Right, we got to figure out what it
was.
And
they broke it down like all 22, or whatever you call it in the NHL, all 12.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
that's good. You don't want them to be blown up, though? Like, that's what I'm rooting for here. I want the chaos. I want them to just do... I think it would be dumb. But
well,
I want them to do dumb.
I am excited because what's probably going to happen is what has already happened to them right now, which is they're going to decide that the build they have is not good and they're going to get worse on purpose. They've already done that.
They've already done it.
And they're going to do it more?
Yeah.
I'm excited for that. Go ahead and get worse on purpose because you need to win a different way.
Yeah, the extremist version of that, which is, you know, instead of bringing in Ryan Reeves, we're going to trade Marner for... Well, what do they want?
Marner for Tom Wilson.
Yeah, that's the extreme version of it.
He's good.
What do they want, though? Don't they want... They want what we want, right? They want the Tkachuk trade.
They just want to win.
They want the Tkachuk trade.
Sure, but what is that trade? They want
trade was you traded your best offensive player to get a different type of guy in the room.
Yeah.
And on the team. And for Florida, could you say that... is the biggest reason why it worked?
You could say that's the biggest reason, but Florida also made a million trades. Florida is built out.
That's
they're
true.
Built out of trades.
That's true.
The Reinhardt trade, the Montour trade, I mean, just the trades with the Sabres. But, you know, Carter Verhaeghe and Bobrovsky and all these pieces they've signed that are big, big pieces.
Yeah.
Anyway, tonight you've got, Edmonton and L.A. go back to it?
Edmonton and L.A., that series could end with an Edmonton win, Vegas and Dallas, which is very good. And how about this for that game? 7:30. Beautiful.
For Edmonton?
For Vegas and Dallas. No, we will never. Come on, McDavid before 10 o'clock.
That's true, I'm sorry. 7:30 for Vegas.
We'll get Eichel before 10 o'clock, though.
Good, very good. 803-0550, our phone number, 1-888-550-2550. So a little bit of hockey here. And, we'll see if anybody gets knocked out. We used to do this where a team would get knocked out and we would pour over the carcass of, you know, for instance, who got eliminated last night? The Jets. Winnipeg.
Yeah.
Who's on Winnipeg that we might want a piece of? Is there anybody out there? So, you know, the Sabres offseason will get started once the NHL postseason ends. I was talking to my wife. She asked me randomly, like, how long do the NHL playoffs go? I'm like, oh, we're talking mid to late June.
Yeah.
This thing is just getting started.
Months.
Here we are in May.
May 1st. But yeah, we got like a month and a half until the playoffs end entirely.
So on the Bills, what we got coming up today, you know, it's all about Keon Coleman right now, learning about Keon Coleman. So Joe Marino is going to join us for the Locked On Bills podcast. He talked to somebody yesterday on his podcast, the Locked On Bills podcast, Brett Whitefield, who, You know, I'm not sure if you out there are nervous about Coleman, excited about Coleman, down on Coleman, whatever. But we're getting a lot of, well, here's what he does well, and here's what he needs to work on, and how can that translate, and how is the fit? And Brett Whitefield, who was on with Joe Marino yesterday, was as convincing as anybody that the Coleman thing is really going to it's gonna work and it's going to be a perfect fit. Went a long way to talk about the routes he runs well, and I forget who it was we said this about. Who did we say was the routes he runs fit perfectly into the Bills' offense? But that's Coleman, too. Whether that was, you know what, it was Brian Thomas Jr. That's who I remember. Brian Thomas Jr., limited route tree, doesn't run everything, but what he runs perfectly well, and that's what the Bills use.
Right.
And Brett Whitefield basically kind of said the same thing about Coleman, like dig routes. He's going to run digs. He's going to run down the field. He is very good at the routes that they're going to ask him to run. And on the concerns about getting open, he basically laid out that there are concerns, and he'll have to get better. When the Bills bring him in and say, all right, here's the plan for your career development, you're going to become a better route runner. He did say, he went so far as to say that Coleman is more T. Higgins than Kelvin Benjamin. And you know, thinking about Higgins, he's a good route runner. He's not the best, but he's good enough. And he's been good through his career. Higgins is exactly the basketball player type of receiver that Coleman is. Think of the crazy catches, if you've seen any of T. Higgins. Higgins is a guy that makes those catches.
Oh, there's one last year. Is that a comeback win?
Sideline against the Browns.
Where he like he rips it down and then sticks the ball out across the goal line at the end.
I think we're going to get those kind of catches with Coleman relatively frequently. He is a human highlight reel. I mean, if you look for his highlights, it's not unimpressive. So he might be a polarizing receiver as a prospect, and you might even get to a point where 2 years in, he's polarizing. Like, he's got all these incredible catches, but there are going to be games maybe where he isn't so available because he gets locked up by a corner.
Right.
But whatever. Like, I think he's a very, very exciting player, and kind of getting to the point where we hear about what the Bills' plan for him is going to be a big part of this process.
Doesn't he feel like the type of player where there might be a 3 week stretch where he has two insane catches, but he's totaled like 40 yards, like just kind of disappears at times, like it's taken out of the game. I mean, that happened with Davis at the end of last year. And if he's the Gabe Davis replacement, that player in this offense with Joe Brady last year had, what was it?
Was it three
goose eggs? Was it three games with zeros?
Yeah, and maybe one with one catch for six.
Yeah. So, like, what's the bar for Coleman? Does he have to be a consistent, reliable target, or can he be a guy that shows up once in a while, makes some great catches, and that's okay? Because, if he's not being asked to replace Diggs or be their high-volume target guy, then maybe there's a middle ground. I wonder, though, if fans are okay with that.
Yeah.
Like, are you okay with him just being a role player in your offense and not developing into something more?
Well, there's a good stat here to look at the difference between Diggs and Davis in the last 4 years. They've been together for 4 years. Now both are gone, right?
Yep.
Gabe Davis's catch percentage. Now, you could say this is because he's further down the field, but Davis's highest catch percentage was 56.5.
Yeah.
Rookie season, 56% of the balls going his way were caught. Diggs low was 62.8. Diggs high was his first year was 76.5.
Yeah.
And this gets to a point about how the Bills will use Coleman, because if you want to go really deep down the rabbit hole, we're going to break in. I'll explain this a little bit more. But he might be a good player, but not an efficient player. He might be, you know, just like Xavier Worthy for the Chiefs, might not be a 12 catches for 135 guy. He might be two catches for 68 on seven targets. Efficiency is a big point here in the passing game. And I wonder about the Bills and passing efficiency going to Coleman, because if he's not getting open on every play, but you are scheming him open and using his size and his yak ability to your advantage, you might get good numbers and not good efficiency. Be interesting to see. What that means for Josh Allen, I think there's a conversation to be had there too. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us. Jeremy and Joe, give us a call. Joe Marino coming up at 7:30. Benjamin Solak of The Ringer coming up at 9, Evan Lazar 9:30 on the Patriots draft and their direction with a quarterback and two young receivers. It is a foggy Wednesday. It's supposed to be gorgeous today. My luck, I golfed yesterday. Although it wasn't
in the rain.
Bad. In the rain.
In the rain.
In the light drizzle. I wore shorts and a rain jacket, and I was fine. I never needed an umbrella, but it was drizzle. Today, the high, 72.
Nice.
You see the high on Friday? Are you ready for Friday?
Isn't Friday like 1,000 degrees?
81.
81. Too warm.
What are you saying, Matt? You're mad?
2-1. Get out
of
warm.
Here.
Nothing above. I don't want to see an 8.
Every,
keep me in the sevens.
Every high the next 10 days, the lowest high is 65. And we're living in like 69, 72, 74, 81 Friday. Patio season. We got to do our show from a patio on Friday.
Yeah?
Yes.
How? Well, it's going to be 81 during the day. What's it going to be in the morning?
Hold on. Let me check. What time? Like 6 a.m.?
Yeah.
6 a.m.
I do believe that's when our...
It's going to be 55. By the end of the show, it'll
that's
be
fine.
It'll be 68.
I'll take...
Let's do it. The Chopin Bulldog did an eclipse show outside from Grand Island. We can do a patio show.
That's true.
You imagine people walking by and two idiots are just yelling about Josh Allen on a patio
at 6:05 in the morning.
Yeah. Exactly. And you know what? That's like any day in Buffalo. I see that every
day. Someone next door is trying to sleep and they're just yelling about Keon Coleman.
Yeah. What about separation? All right, Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Happy Friday. Have a ball. Join us if you'd like. 803-0550 on WGR.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
He was super impressive. I mean, he was, him and Lucky and Z were unreal this series. And watching Mitzi, how hard he competes out there, I think a lot of people didn't expect that out of him. But, man, he competed hard and made some great plays and had some great poise and looked like he's been there lots. So he's an awesome guy, works really hard. And, yeah, those guys, that whole line was great. Huge reason why I won the series. They're awesome.
Colorado wins. That's Nathan MacKinnon. Said Casey Mittelstadt was the best player in the series for them. MacKinnon, I mean, he's darn good, too. So is Cale Makar.
Yeah, I was going to say. He might have been third. But still.
They lost game one.
He was good.
They lost game one and then sweep.
Yeah. He had Mittelstadt in the series. 1 goal, 5 assists in 5 games.
Yeah.
Some of those assists were filthy, too. Like, he was good. He's now on, when they are late game situations, like trying to tie a hockey game, although I think that only popped up twice this series, he's out there. He's one of their six, like out there trying to tie a game.
Yeah.
They look good.
They do. They look really good. Who else looks
really
good?
Must be nice.
Florida, Colorado. Be a nice matchup.
Florida, Colorado.
Carolina.
Carolina looks great, but they played the Islanders.
Oh, okay. Kuznetsov. Let's do it. Let's talk about it.
Super slow-mo.
Okay. Josh, can you get that highlight? Kuznetsov had a penalty.
Do we have time to play it?
Yes. He had a penalty.
Takes an hour.
Here's the topic I've got for a fun Wednesday, okay? Everybody can relate with this a little bit. No matter how old you are, you probably feel, maybe not, but younger than you are. I'm 44. How many times in my life do I actually think in my head I'm 44? The point is, what in the world, sports or whatever, what turns you into the old man yelling at the cloud?
Okay.
Because...
is this yours?
Yeah. Kuznetsov. This is yours. Kuznetsov's breakaways. So he does this in shootouts, of course.
Yeah.
And he did it last night. In a playoff game, they're awarded a penalty shot, and Kuznetsov takes a penalty shot.
Yeah.
And Evgeny Kuznetsov, if you don't remember, is the slow guy. He takes it in slowly. Here's the highlight of Evgeny Kuznetsov's penalty shot. You think it, you're like, how? All right, really? How slow could it be?
Yeah.
This slow.
Kuznetsov, and he usually takes his time, and he is creeping across the line. Kuznetsov waits, holds, and scores!
Josh, what's the time from Carolina. Touches the puck to scores it? 12 seconds?
I'm looking right now, 12
too. 12 seconds. Exactly. It's a 12-second breakaway.
I was watching the Leafs-Bruins game, and they did like a studio update when they came back from a commercial break, and they were like, yeah, we had to go to commercial during a penalty shot because Kuznetsov took too long, but hey, he scored it. So it's like you're disrupting broadcasts. Like, come on, just shoot the puck. You're going to score. Just go do it. Like, why do you take so much time?
I am old man yelling at cloud. It should not be allowed. It should not be allowed to do what Kuznetsov should not be allowed.
I mean,
NHL made it illegal to do a spinorama because you're going backwards,
which he's not doing.
No, he's not. He's never going backwards. At full speed and try a spinning backhand. The NHL's like, you can't go backwards. That's illegal.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Kuznetsov can go that slow. Should not be allowed. What shot clock? You tell me.
Shot clock is the only thing you can really get.
Shot clock or just? Yeah, I guess what's the only. I don't want a shot clock. I just want you must push with your legs.
Well, you
you have to take three strides.
There must be
past
at least there must be some strides.
No gliding. No gliding. You have to be skating.
I'm old man yelling at cloud. But well, because it should not be allowed.
Part of your problem is the goaltenders, right? Like, watch this clip. How does it work? Why does he score on it every time? Like, Josh says, you're going to score anyway. I don't believe that. I think he scores because he does it this way. He gets goalies to be impatient. Varlamov is sitting there in position for 10 seconds and finally goes, I'm going to poke check. And he's waiting for the poke check. And within a tenth of a second, the puck is backhand, forehand, it's in the net.
Are you
sure? By the time Varlamov can even get the stick out there.
Are you sure that's what happens and it's not that Varlamov blacks out and falls asleep waiting for this man to skate at him?
He just falls over.
He's just like, I woke up when the horn went off.
Yeah.
The other thing, too, is they call this the controller disconnect, and that's not what it is.
Like, no, because he's still...
Kucherov does that, where it's you make the move, but you don't actually move.
No, he's just waiting. He's going to do something eventually.
I hate it.
You need a shot clock. Is what you need. The Kuznetsov.
I mean, the last thing I want is to put something else on the broadcast or in the arena that would be reviewed.
Well,
did he get the shot off before the shot clock? I want nothing to do with that.
Well, hasn't there been an idea out there where maybe this is more for shootouts?
A defender chases them.
Yeah, a defender chases them from behind.
Yes.
Like he started their own blue line.
In the Kuznetsov case, the defender could start at his own goal line. And the back check would get there.
He could do a loop around the ice, depending on who it is.
If it's Kuznetsov, you could have the other goalie in the net back check and catch him.
Yeah.
I mean, the problem with a defender chasing after a penalty shot is now I got to worry about, does that guy commit a penalty? What if he trips him or hooks him or whatever?
Yeah.
The Kuznetsov.
That's what's making me more maddening for him, I guess, is that you don't have, there's no like good,
no,
there's no good way to fix it other than just tell him to cut the you know what, right?
Yeah, it's nonsense.
He was almost out of the league too. You almost had it.
It's very much one of those spirit of the rule thing, right? Like a penalty shot, you're supposed to be when you're awarded a penalty shot, in theory, it's you had a breakaway. Okay, we're going to give you the clean breakaway. You've deserved that. The breakaway happens at speed, and when you take a penalty shot, you get a minute to think, and you get to plan a move, and you already get an advantage built in. Maybe the goalie does, too. But the idea that you can go so slow is incredible.
What if you make him pick it up from the blue line instead of the red line? What's the difference? Takes less time.
I would like to see the league just ban him from taking penalty shots.
Suspend him.
Is that too much?
Might be a little. Man. The PA might get involved at that point.
Just incredible that he keeps
doing
it.
Well, at least he did it in this way to eliminate us from having to watch the Islanders anymore. Because if there's anything that's drier than watching him glide in for 15 seconds on a penalty shot, it's New York Islanders hockey.
True. That is true.
And they're done.
803-0550.
While we're on the playoffs real quick, again, more and more emphasis on this point for me in these playoffs, which is just the East stinks.
Compared to the West, yeah.
The East stinks. Like, for next year, the Sabres could do nothing, and I feel like I'm going to be optimistic about their chances because I just got to beat these teams. Look at the Islanders. Look at the Capitals. That's who I've got to be better than. Tampa, even with their age and maybe Stamkos leaving. Like, I don't have to be that good to get in here. These teams stink, and they're in the postseason.
I was texting friends last night about 1 year from right now. 1 year from right now. The reason I was doing this, I was outside watching hockey in my backyard. I have a patio with a TV out there. It was a great night to be outside and watch hockey. And since living in this house and having the television out there, we've never had a chance to watch a Sabres playoff game outside, right? The Sabres haven't made the playoffs.
Right.
I'll have the neighbors over. We'll go out back. We'll watch hockey. And I thought, as I'm standing there last night, 1 year from tonight, Sabres on the road, game 5, playoffs. It'll be May 1st. It'll be April 30th. It'll be nice outside, and we'll be doing it. This is probably the Lindy factor or the regression factor. I don't know which factor it is, Joe, but I am confident might be the wrong word. I mean, because we haven't even had the offseason yet.
Right.
But I think they're going to make the playoffs next year. Because of what you said about the East, because their goalies are good now.
Yep.
If they fix just their power play, if they don't have injuries, if they have a bottom six, right? Like, I do think they're going to do it next year. And
well, the dead weight that was on this team at the start of the season.
Some of it is gone.
Like, at least 2/3 of it's going to be gone.
They have to make sure they don't go get more of it.
Right.
Because they did that with, you know, Eric Johnson.
Yeah, they added more dead weight.
Going out and acquiring some dead weight. So, let's get a call in here. Paul and West Seneca are going to join us. Good morning, Paul.
Morning. I just know I haven't listened for a few days, so I don't know if you guys have discussed Lindy Ruff's statement about he has tools he can use. He mentioned Ray, Peters, and Mayer. To me, that signals a desire to just get tougher, which I think they definitely need. I'm going to hang up now and listen. Thanks.
Yeah. I mean, I heard him say those guys' names one time in all of the talking he's done, and I feel like I've heard him say Jack Hughes' name 30 times. So just saying that.
Well, consider the GM said they want the to be more abrasive.
You could say
there's a lot of words you could use for this. The GM's word was abrasive.
Yep, that's right.
And I think that's a good one. That doesn't necessarily mean unskilled, whatever, plug fighting, hitting. It means,
well, do you trust though that that's how they're going to execute this?
Well, it's hard to find. Like, this gets back to our conversation from the first segment about Marchand. Like, Marchand is the definition of, he's the most abrasive player in hockey. And Skinner is abrasive in a different way. He's annoying, but he doesn't play an abrasive style.
Right.
He just has an abrasive personality and it makes people mad on the ice consistently.
He talks.
Sure.
Yeah.
And they need somebody that's got the abrasive playing style, a couple of somebodies like that. And, you know, chasing that down. Matthew Fairburn had a piece on this at The Athletic about, like, names the Sabres could chase after and, you know, who it might be. I think, was Garnet Hathaway on that list? The guy that knocked out Cousins?
Okay, yeah.
I think he might have been on that list. Anyway, yeah, abrasive. That's the word that I'm going to key in on going to the offseason for them, like what they're going to do. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. John, we'll get to your call on the other side. Going to get a break in. Have a good conversation coming up about this Chiefs-Bills trade because I saw Joe arguing with people yesterday.
Ugh.
I like the argument. I think it's a good one. I think it's fun.
The messaging is driving me nuts.
All right, we'll get to that. 803-0550 to join us here on a, now the fog's here.
The fog is moved in. It's rolled
it
in.
Came in. I was about to say formerly foggy Wednesday, then I looked outside. It's foggy here now. All right, so, you know, be safe. Be safe. Be prepared. A little bit of fog. Jeremy and Joe on WGR. Marty Baron is up and tweeting about, oh, sorry, this was last night, what to do in a shootout when a guy like Kuznetsov takes it and takes 12 seconds. Marty writes, crazy thing I would suggest for the goalie to skate out and play him like a defenseman one-on-one. Like Hasek, right? Just crash into him, stick on the ice. Kuznetsov, 12.3 seconds on that. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Happy Wednesday. Talk with Joe Marino coming up at 7:30. And, you know, take your calls. Benjamin Solak of The Ringer at 9 on Keon Coleman and that fit. John in Wheatfield is with us. Hey, John, good morning.
Good morning, guys. You know, that's always been a crawl with me and this breakaway stuff. I played goalie, you know, in high school, college, and many, many years in the bar leagues. And you know what? If you go back to old school, you know, guys took that at center ice and made a straight beeline to the net full speed. And that's the way it should be because, you know, it's getting to the point where why don't they just let him skate to the boards with a sharpie, give an autograph, and come in on the goalie? For a goaltender, it's very difficult to try time yourself with these guys who stop and start, do this, do that. It's like trick shows. It's like showdown with a trick show. I think they should narrow the skater to just skating like between the faceoff circles, full speed straight ahead. None of this bull crap going left, right, stopping. It takes away from the game. It really does. It turns out to be like a skill show, like how I can trick the goalie. So I totally agree with Marty. I mean, in this day and age, you just take the goalie out and go after the shooter or something, but they got to change that rule. It's not even entertaining.
Yeah. Thanks, John. I mean, I don't mind skill shows. That's, you know, the whole point, but I don't disagree. If they were to say, we're going to keep you between the face-off circles, I would be fine for that also. You know, guys that swing all the way to the boards. What it ends up feeling like, I'm going to use a phrase here that my generation and your generation, Joe and Joe's too, and Josh's too, it feels like Kuznetsov has a glitch goal. He's figured out a glitch goal. There's a glitch in NHL 94. When you do the wraparound, you can score every single time.
Yep.
Evgeny Kuznetsov has found an actual real-life glitch. And what happens in these games when you find these glitch goals, they take them out. Like, you can't do that. It's kind of like the tush-push. It's really a lot like the tush-push, is it not? Someone has found something very successful that seems like it's not in the spirit of the game, but what are you going to do, make it illegal? It's not against the rules.
Yeah.
I'm here to tell you, I would also get rid of the tush-push.
Is he... I want to look. Like, how... Is he number one in the league in, like, shootout percentage? Kuznetsov? Like, Oshie has been that guy. And Oshie has a move. He goes left, right, center. And he moves, right? Like, he's not doing the slow play, but he's got the same pattern he does every time.
Yeah.
And then he scores. Like, isn't that also kind of... Is he just really good at it, though? Or is that kind of what we're saying here? That, like, Kuznetsov's is like, different. It's not spirit of the rule. It's not spirit of anything. You're just outwaiting guys. Whereas Oshie is coming in, and he's got a certain strategy that works, and he executes it well.
Among active players with more than 10 attempts, Trevor Zegras has the highest shootout percentage at 61%.
Where's Kuznetsov? He's not on there?
He's a couple scrolls down.
Okay.
A couple. Right. I like that. A couple scrolls. A
couple scrolls down.
How many scrolls down? I like two or three scrolls.
So, okay, if it's a glitch goal, like, he should be the best at it then, right?
Fair point.
I think it's just bad.
Yeah, if
it's
he...
Just, I don't...
It is funny. If he,
I don't think
if
he's cheating. I think it's hard to watch.
If he scored on this one out of every 10, we'd be like, this guy's an idiot. He's terrible at this. But right. Then he scores, you know, reasonably.
56.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
But that counts everybody, so.
803-0550. Some Bills and Chiefs chatter when we get back. Joe spent yesterday arguing with people online about the Worthy trade. And I'd like to jump in on that and ask a bigger picture question that I think is important about the Bills and the Chiefs. Where are the Bills going to be better than them? Let's talk about it. 803-0550 on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio.
Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day.
Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds.
What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds?
Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs.
Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.